Well, we've been preaching on Sunday mornings for some time on the home and family. And we've covered several different topics along those lines. We've talked about what is a home. And there are three homes that we all need. About the foundations of a home. Talked about four principles that govern our family relationships. Talked about 10 humanistic myths that are destroying our homes. Talked about 5 pillars of a strong marriage and a strong home. We've talked about the God-ordained intentions of the home. And that's the sermon that we've been on for some time now. And we've talked about God's intentions in a marriage. Talked about God's intentions for the wife. And this morning will be the third in a series of sermons on God's intentions for the husband. I believe in expository preaching. I think it is absolutely pleasing to the Lord to study the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line upon line. That does not mean that I don't like topical preaching. Please don't go away from here saying something I did not say. But sure has been rich around here this morning. And it'd be good just to preach about Jesus.
Amen.
I'll tell you this, you can never have a home that's pleasing to the Lord apart from Jesus.
Right.
You can never have, I'm not saying that there aren't people who are not saved that don't have a good marriage, but you can never have a marriage that's as good as it could be apart from Jesus.
Amen.
You'll never be the wife. Not saying you're not a good one, but you'd never be a better one apart from Jesus. You'd never be a better husband apart from Jesus. And man, he sure is good to us. Amen. I don't have one thing to do, and that's to preach. And so I hope the Lord will help us today. Genesis chapter 2, read the text we've been using for our sermons concerning Adam. And I sure pray the Lord will help us. I want to be a help to you. It's been good. Preachers have said this before. It's been a cliche problem. And maybe not. I'm not being critical. Maybe not. But I can say with an honest heart this morning, I could go home right now and say it's been good to be at church today. And go there rejoicing. But Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible. And thank you, Lord, for meeting with us in our church services this morning. We've had a terrific Sunday school hour. The song service this morning has been off of the charts. Our hearts have rejoiced and we're excited to see the Savior and what He has done and continues to do for us. And we're thankful, Lord, for this the group of men that are dedicated their lives to getting the Bibles printed and giving them out freely to people who want them. What a blessing. Thank you so much for that. And Lord, we've came to the preaching part of this hour. And I stand in a place that is always difficult to stand. But sometimes, Lord, seemingly not knowing exactly the direction the Lord would have us to take or to go, I pray you would help us now and use us, Lord, and we'll certainly thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I talked last Sunday morning in this God's intention for the husband. I talked about the responsibility of the husband protecting his wife's spirit. Now, I will not rehash any of that sermon this morning. I won't go back to that, but I will tell you this. Adam was to provide, maintain, and protect a special place for his family. We saw places in the Bible where God did this for Israel in the land of Goshen. God did this for, God protected his people, his family in the wilderness. And I'm glad that in the New Testament we can see that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing that for his bride. We also looked at the fact that Adam was primarily, the fall of man was primarily the fault of Adam. We understand that to be true from the Scripture. And there are many things that we could do. We talked about that as well, to protect our wife's spirit. And then we talked about protecting our wives physically and how that we oftentimes as husbands are offensive towards our wives. Many times, even when we don't intend to be or desire to be, we're just different. And we oftentimes are offensive. And so I want to look at some today. I hope, now, it is not a controversial biblical subject at all, but if you spend more time with the secular world than you do the things of God, you will likely be offended by some of the things that I say today. But it's not my intention to offend you. It's my intention to instruct you concerning God's plan for your life and my life. And so under the thought of understanding a man, if that is possible, and I understand the limitations that are involved in that, but the Bible tells us in very simple terms that on the sixth day of creation, God created a man. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 7. We were reading other verses a moment ago. But look at verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And so as we study that chapter, and we study chapters obviously in the Bible following that, we can find seven characteristics of man. Now, I will make this disclosure, if I may. Although you may find exceptions, I will give you these as a general rule of man, and they are especially true of the first man. Now, you say, "Preacher, why would we even study a thought such as this, understanding a man?" Well, I'll give you three reasons, and then we'll get into the subject. Why would you study such a thought as this? Well, I believe it is important for a mother to understand how God made a man, or what God's intentions are for a man, so she may be able to instruct him to be the man that God intended him to be. There is a second reason of equal or more importance, and that is, if the Lord will allow you ladies to understand how God made your man, it may be possible for you to be a better helpmeet for him. Oftentimes, I say these things because oftentimes when you have we'll just use this for an example, you have a Mother's Day sermon per se, or a Father's Day sermon, and someone might say, "Well, I'm not a father, so I'm not going to go," or "I'm not a mother, so I'm going to tune him out." No, these things are for all of us. We're talking about the understanding or God's intentions for a husband. If you're a child, if you're a young man, one of these days, hopefully, it is God's intention, God's plan for your life to be a husband, when you want to know what God expects. If you're a young lady, and one of these days, your ambition, your goal, your desire is to marry a man and raise a family, I think it's important for you to understand what to expect in a husband. And then, obviously, if you are married, you ladies are interested in, you should be, being the best helpmeet possible, and you husbands should be interested in being the best husband possible. And so I give you these reasons because of the wife, of the mother. And then It will help every man. It will help every man. Here's the third reason. I'll give you these souls. The third reason is so that every man will understand the mold by which God has made us, and may we implement those things in our lives. Now, I'm going to give you the first point. Some of you is going to be done with me as soon as I say this. But first of all, man by design, or man was designed by God to be a dominator. Pin drop. You know, and here's why. I give you some biblical reasons for that, but the reason it gets so quiet when you make statements like that is because that's not what the world teaches. That's not what the television shows teach. That's not what society teaches. That's not what Hollywood teaches. But I'll tell you this, that's how God designed it. We see that in verse 15. Look at our text verse we read to begin with, Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, if you notice here in this passage of Scripture, in this one verse here, in verse number 15, that man was assigned to be in charge. That means to dominate. Man was assigned to be in charge. God originally designed Adam to be a leader. He is the first man. He is the top dog. He is the commander, if you will. He's the dominator. Now, we know that when Eve came along and we study those things, her role was the flip side of that. She was designed by God to be a follower, to be a helpmeet. And so we have the male leadership and the female fellowship principle. And it's in the Bible from the beginning to the end, from life to death. And yet when we get away from those things, or when we deviate from those things, or when we try to implement our own will or desire, or society's will and desire into our lives instead of what God has designed for our lives, that's why our families are in the trouble they're in today. And so God has designed, man was designed by God to be a dominator. Here's what I mean by that. Before some of you get too upset, God has laid out that male dominion in every environment of His creation. That's the way that God has intended it. That's true in the church. That's true as a nation, in our country. And that's true in the home. And the evidence that those environments have turned from the God-given plan is when the man has ceased to dominate those areas that God gave him to dominate. Now, so I'm going to mention three things. Come to Isaiah chapter 3. Man was created to be in leadership in a country. Not one single amen. That's all right. I'm still going to show it to you in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 3, look what the Bible says. Verse number 12. You say, well, I know a woman that's smarter. I know a woman that has better political views. I know a woman that stands better on this issue or that issue. Well, so what? Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 12. The Bible says, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. Now, I can just feel the air going out of the room. We have been excited this morning. We've been weeping. We've been crying. We've been shouting. We've been excited about what God has done for us and what God is doing in our lives. And man, it's a blessing that one of these days, these eyes are going to behold the one who died for my sin. And I stand before Him without blame. I'm complete in Him. Praise the Lord. This is just as much Bible as all of that is Bible. We want the glory, but we don't want the instruction. We want the praise. We want the worship. We want to lift Him up, but we don't want to be accountable for anything in our life. You can't have one without the other. The preacher yesterday in youth rally did a tremendous job preaching on worship and praise. He talked about how the world has it all backwards and they got all these praise and worship. He said, there is no praise apart from worship. And so we're worshiping the Lord, and we do that with our lives by conforming our lives to what thus saith the Lord. And so in this passage that I just read here in Isaiah chapter 3, this weak and effeminate leadership caused the children of Israel to err, and it destroyed the path that was before them. One of the things, because of that, we saw one of the results of that was in the text as well. Instead of children being a blessing, children became oppressors. And man, you can't look around for 5 minutes in the country that we live in and see this taking place. And so God has created man to be in leadership in the country. Now come to Revelation chapter 20. Find two places, if you will. Revelation chapter 2, we'll look at verse number 20. Revelation chapter 2 and 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll see, second of all, that man was created to be in leadership in the church. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse number 20. The Bible says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Now, look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'll read it before I make comments. I could have went off right there. But look at 1 Timothy, if you will, chapter 2 and verse number 11. Why? Some of you may not know me. You say, "Oh, that preacher just don't like women." You have no clue. I married a woman because I love her. She's the absolute dearest thing in this entire world to me. I have two wonderful, fantastic daughters. I have two granddaughters. I promise you, I am in favor of, I am for, I protect, I provide, I defend women. But I'm not going to do that by dismissing the Bible. Now, look what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 11. "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer." That word means allow. But I suffer. Now let me say this, because you have to. People read that want to do their own thing apart from God, and they say, "Well, Paul just said that." And they say that because Paul says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach." Paul did say it, "But I suffer not a woman to teach." But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, instruction, and righteousness. So Paul did say that, but Paul wasn't saying his own thing. He is saying exactly what God is putting in his heart to say. Amen. And so he said, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And he even gives a reason. He didn't have to give a reason. God doesn't need to explain himself. But he did in this verse. He said, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve." You see the dominion, the dominance. God created the man first. He's the top dog. And then the woman. Now, recently, and again, I'm not here to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm just preaching the Bible. But just recently, the Southern Baptist Association voted not to allow women pastors. Now, I'm glad that they got that vote right. I commend them, that they got that correct. But why was it ever a vote to begin with? The only reason it was an issue to begin with, and the only reason it was something that came up to be voted on, is because somebody chose to do their thing instead of what God said. Right. And so anytime you get away from the Bible, you have to add all of these extra steps. Amen. Just follow the Bible. Amen. So the man was created to be in leadership in the country. Man was created to be in leadership in the church. Now come to Ephesians chapter 5. Man was created to be in leadership in his home. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 22. Now we could read a lot of verses, but I got to get back to my text, got to get back to my sermon. Ephesians 5, verse 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Now, you know, that would have been a complete sentence if those last four words were not added. So you say, so the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Can I tell you, I mean, God can do anything He wants, but He doesn't need my opinion or my approval of what He puts in the Bible. I think those last four words is in there to say this. If you're not willing to submit to God, you're not going to submit to your husband.
Right.
And so the Bible says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And so you young ladies, you're looking for a man that you may marry sometime, and you may choose to be a husband. If he has not submitted his life unto the Lord, I'd be concerned about him being a proper husband. And you young men, you may be looking for a companion. You may be looking for a wife. I want to tell you something. If she's not submitted to the Lord, she will not submit to you. And so here in our day, men have dropped the ball in our country. And men have dropped the ball in our churches. And men have dropped the ball in our homes. Hence the reason the nation has gone the way it's gone. And the homes have gone the way they have. And the problems that we have. And they're not going to get any better till people get back to God. You know why? Come back to Genesis chapter 2. I'm for helping people. I am. I want to. I try to. And I'm for feeding the hungry. I'm for building a hospital. I'm for all of that stuff. If I get sick, you can do whatever you want to. I'm going to the doctor. And if he writes me a prescription, if I can afford it, I'm going to take it. And you can do whatever you want to. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. We're living in a time when people are doing everything that they want to do their own way. They have dropped the ball in every aspect, and there's no male leadership in the home. The wife does whatever she wants to do. She runs the home. She makes all the decisions. She does all the correction if there is any, and then that turns over to the church. There's very few men in the church. I talked to a pastor one time, and he had a woman teaching the adult Sunday school class, and he knew it was wrong. That's the thing. And so I asked him about it. I said, well, if you know that's wrong, why are you allowing a woman to teach your adult Sunday school class that consists of men and women? He said, well, I don't have anyone else to teach it. You know what I said? What's wrong with you? What's your problem? So you don't just make decisions to do your own thing because it's not convenient. Or because it don't. Listen, a lot of times it is much easier to take away that is not pleasing to God, but that doesn't make it right. And it's not going to end well. And I better get away from all that church thing. All these churches around here, they don't have any kind of leadership. They don't have anyone qualified for leadership. And they're just a splinter off of a split that's splintered from somewhere else. And there's no one qualified to pastor. There's no one qualified to be a deacon. There's no one qualified. You say, well, a preacher, why you got to have all these qualifications for? Because the Bible said you had to. We got all these people they're confused about. Can I just let you in on a little secret? If you're saved, listen real close, because the preacher's going to say something you ain't going to like. If you've been born again, God called you to preach. Man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't make any difference. You are to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you have a group assembled together, God has ordained and given instruction concerning how that assembly is to be held and how it's to take place. And the people in leadership have to be qualified, and they have to be men. Say, preacher, why are you telling us all this? I'm not. I'm telling those people listening on the internet. So look, come back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. I know it's 12 o'clock already. That's okay. Look what the Bible says. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. All right, the it. What is the it? Well, obviously, it is the garden. But we got to... But that garden, here's what I want you to understand. Obviously, in the context, in the verse of Scripture, it's speaking of the garden. But what is the garden to Adam? That's his environment. That's what God has given him. And so God has given him this garden, his environment. And listen, men like to dominate things. They like to dominate their work. They like to dominate in sports. They like to dominate in their hobby. And the reason that men like to do that is because that's their environment. There's all kind of examples we could go back and look at and all that stuff. But God has placed within a man, and I especially Adam, and I believe that should be true in men of our day. But a lot of times it's been educated out of them, and they've been raised by effeminate parents, and so they don't have that male type driven spirit to accomplish and to work and succeed and to do what God has called them to do, and it turns into a mess. I believe that's why the New Testament talks about it being an abomination for men to be effeminate. You say, "Well, preacher, you just old fashioned." No, I'm Bible fashioned. There's a big difference, amen. And so, if we're going to make men out of our boys, we're going to have from the very early years on. You're going to have to give him responsibility. And listen, if the television and the internet and social media, video games, hasn't destroyed his self-drive and ambition, he will thrive. He will thrive with responsibility. It's almost a game to him. I don't know what it is. I can mow more yards than you. I can bust more wood than you. I can climb a tree higher than you. I can run faster than you. I can jump. I'm stronger than you. You say, "Well, you're egotistical." No, that's just the way God made us. Before the fall of man, Adam was God's ambassador on the earth. And God put him in charge of the whole earth. God gave Adam dominion. And in a sense, can I say this? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all to God. I'll show it to you from the Bible here in just a minute. It's almost like God said, God created man. He put him in this garden to dress it and to keep it. And paraphrasing, God said, "What you say goes." Now, let me show you that from the Bible. God created that doministic characteristic in Adam. And then the Lord did this. Then God utilized that dominating spirit in Adam. I want to show you this. Look at verse number 19. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them." So it's very clear here from the Bible that God created every animal from the ground. And I'm certain if God... Now, aren't you positive of the fact that if God is able to create them from the ground, he is well able to call them what he wants to? He created them, but then he is going to utilize what he gave to Adam, and he's going to allow Adam to utilize that by naming all of these things that God has created. And so that's the God utilized that dominating aspect that he gave him. So God created it, then God utilized it. Now here's what's important. Then God respected it. Look at the rest of the verse. I'll read all the verse again. Verse number 19, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them." Now notice this. Here's God respecting the dominating spirit of Adam. "And whatsoever Adam called every living creature," don't miss this, "that was the name thereof." So, When that creature came by, whatever it was, and Adam said, "All right, that's a pig." The Lord said, "All right, it's a pig. A rhinoceros," or this big brute of an animal come by, and Adam said, "Oh, that's a rhinoceros." The Lord said, "Okay. Well, let me ask you something. Don't you think God would have had a better name than a rhinoceros?" But he is utilizing and he is respecting the dominating spirit that he gave to Adam. And so God has created man in this dominating spirit, and man has surrendered that in the day that we live in almost every aspect of his life.
And we're losing our country. And we're losing our churches. And we're losing our homes. And it's not because we don't like women. It's because men are too limp-wristed and skinny-backed to stand up and be a man.
Amen.
That God made them to be. And it's horrible. Now, basically, God said to Adam, you're in charge of the whole earth. I want you to run it. I want you to dominate it. If you call it a horse, it'll be a horse. If you call it an eagle, it'll be an eagle. If you call it a whippoorwill, it'll be a whippoorwill. I probably wouldn't have named it that. Well, I would have too, maybe. You ever hear one of them things sing? That's exactly how they sing. So maybe that would have been what I don't know. But whatever Adam called them, that's what God said they are. So listen, I'm gonna stop here. I got 13 more pages. I'll stop here. Here's what I want you to know, ladies. As much as men like to dominate things, women like to dominate people. Now, I'm not being critical about that. That was not a derogatory statement. Women are much more relationable. How do I get out of this? They like to have fellowship and share their feelings and their concerns and all of those things. Men are just, if we're quiet, that doesn't mean that we're upset. It doesn't mean that we're mad. It doesn't mean we've changed our mind or our opinion. It's just that this is how God made us. And we want to do and achieve and accomplish and protect and provide. And we want to do that whether we share our feelings or not. Because that's how we were made. And so, listen, men. Here's what I don't want you to go over here saying. I don't want you to leave here and say, well, my preacher said I'm the dominator and this is how it goes. No, that proud and haughty and arrogant spirit will be right before your fall.
Right.
The Lord Jesus humbled Himself. And you and I ought to humble ourselves and fulfill the roles that God has given us in our lives. And ladies, you need to recognize that the God has given your man that. I'm going to quit. Look, I've already... Sometimes, well, in my case, I don't know about you. In my case, I am wrong a lot. I don't want to be wrong, but unfortunately, I am. If your husband is telling a story and he's wrong, don't correct him. You can talk to him about it later. Don't correct that. He has an ego that God has given him. And he doesn't need you interrupting his conversation and correcting him. What am I supposed to do? He was wrong. Be thankful that God has given you a husband. Well, if I'm still the preacher here next week, we'll continue this thought. I get the piano player to come this morning. Maybe nothing from what I've preached this morning will want you to come to the altar, but maybe from something that was sang this morning or the Sunday school or something, the Lord spoke to your heart. Maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord for how good He's been to you. Maybe you are thankful that God has given you a good husband, or maybe you have a desire to be a good husband. Whatever. The Lord spoke to your heart this morning. His bowed eyes closed for just a few moments while the piano player plays. It's good to be saved.